getting all my paraphernalia in order here. It's good to be together. It's good to enjoy our time together. It's good to be able to laugh, even when somebody turns the lights off. It's not so good when people get sick. But God will help us to grow through all of that one. Does anybody here want to be sick? Well, it is good to be together. And I think about a lot of the challenges. You know, one of the things that can be discouraging is when people are sick. You know, and we want everybody to be well. But, you know, how many of us always are well? Not a one of us. You know, I'm reminded of those times when, you know, when Jesus went to these people that had different kind of problems in life. And I remember the apostles, they said, "Who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind?" And Jesus' response to that was kind of neat. He said, I can't quote it, but, you know, he's blind so that you could have faith in God. Think about that. You know, we don't like illness. And we don't like problems in life. But that man was born blind so you and I can go to heaven. Makes me a little more careful about complaining about my problems. I feel that always within these scriptures, it's just like we go to Elijah to learn, how do you deal with depression? I mean, it's a terrible thing. It's an awful blight on society. Our society has got so many problems. But guys, the real part of the biggest part of the problem is that we don't have God to help us through the struggles of life as a society. We put God on the back burner and we take God only the way we want God. It's kind of like the trailer that says racing for Jesus on the side. That's good and proper. It's okay to race cars. But you don't call that your service to God. Okay? We can't turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. We need to make sure that we put God first in the midst of all that we do. And the reason that our society is struggling so much is because God's not the priority in our society. The reason that our nation is having such great problems is not because of, you know, they made poor decisions with the money and printed how many trillions of dollars. Okay, that's not the problem. There was a article that I read last night, and he was speaking at a conference, and basically he was saying that all of these things are going to culminate in a problem. And some of the speakers were saying that we have such great military might that we will never be overcome. Well, let me ask you a question. I can't remember the name of that one. Was it the Moab? Or is that great big, that city that nothing could bring them down? They were invincible. There was a only way into the city was a space that only about two people could traverse. And they said, "We are mighty. I don't care what God says. He can't bring us down."
Tire.
But he did. It wasn't Tire. No. It was their dwelling was among the cliffs. Tire was on the seaside. And so, but you remember, God brought that nation down simply by changing the trade route. The city dried up and it was done. It's a ruins today. And so we may think that we got it together, but our God is in charge. And so as we deal with life and its problems, we need to allow God's power to work, and we need to trust Him as we deal with these things. But we've got to make sure that if we don't put God's principles in place, don't expect things to go well as a whole and in the end. And that's what we've got to keep our minds on. You know, as we look at the Elijah losing heart and the struggles and the problems in life that we solve or we come up against, we need to remember that these things can be trying to our faith. Now, how many times do you see things and problems in life that at least the thought crosses your mind, maybe? Is it really worth living for God? Well, we see that's where James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3 come in. And I really believe that we need to keep this in mind. And no matter what happens in life, we need to understand that these things are there and they do try our faith. But that is not a bad thing, but it should be something that would make us even stronger. And it says in that passage, it said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations, struggles, and problems that beseech you on a daily basis. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." Now, patience. How hard is that, you know? It's one of those things that, God, I wanted patience, but I didn't want any problems to come along, you know. I didn't want any struggles or any difficulties. Well, you know, the reality of patience is being able to stand up in adversity and continue to do the right thing when you don't feel like it. The idea of long-suffering comes in there. Well, temptations and struggles and problems, they are there to try our faith. But in verse 4 it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing." Troubles and problems, they can get us down. And they are periods of discouragement in life. But guys, we need to recognize these things for what they are. They are things that make us better. As I read through the Bible and reading through the Old Testament, we see all these great people of faith that had all these troubles. I look at them every time I read through there. And I'm thinking, well, these were great people of faith. Why did they have such troubles? Well, maybe it has something to do with this. Maybe they need to be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. We count them happy which endure, right? In James chapter 5, talking about Job. Remember Job? Okay? All the troubles he had. Anybody want those? But talking about Job, you know, we look at him and we say, wow, was he amazing. How come is it that we can't see ourselves in the midst of trouble? See, that's the purpose of that verse. And so recognizing the great hand of God and the great power of God as we undergo all of these terrible problems. We look at Job and think he's an amazing. We look at us and say, why me? I relate. But the fact of the matter is, that's what God wants us to see. You turn over two pages to James chapter 5 and verse 11 is where that verse is. It says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." And happy here is the word blessed. It says, you've heard of the patience of Job. And you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. Until it's our turn. And we can't see it. We need to see it. You know, we need to understand that intense pressure on carbon is what makes diamonds. But we can't make the application. Instead of accepting the way that God made this life so that we could be better and complete, we go into depression. Now, I'm not saying that you are sinning if you get depressed. You might be, but I'm not saying that you are. But what I am saying is that we need to recognize the great wisdom and the power of God as we come into these problems, which will help us to be able to pull ourselves up. I can do all things through who?
Christ.
Who?
Strengthens.
Who strengthens me. And so do we need to count on ourselves to be able to get out of these things? No. Okay, and I'm saying this because I have a battle, okay? I go through some deep, dark times. And it takes me sometimes a month to kind of force myself, maybe longer sometimes, to force myself up. And I know these principles. And I understand these principles. And I know all along that God's going to take care of me. But sometimes it's hard, okay? And so don't feel that if it lasts more than 30 seconds that you're a terrible person. I think, you know, Elijah had gone for a long time. And so we're 40 days and he's traveling. And he's still depressed. Okay? It's kind of neat that he found God in the still small voice. And we want a big splash, right? Well, guys, it takes pressure to make good things. How many of us want to be a wonderful servant of God? So you think you could do it without pressure? It's not going to happen. You will not do it without problems and struggles and difficulties and heartaches and pain. You become the diamond because of pressure. We need to realize as Elijah that we are not alone. You know, God told Elijah and he said, they've killed all your prophets. And God said, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Now, there were millions in the land, okay? And you got to put that all into perspective, but Elijah thought he was the only one left. How many of us think a lot of times we're the only one? We're the only one that has a concept of our problems. Well, you're not. And when I'm in the midst of my problems, I'm not the only one. And as we look at what we do here, we see God's direction for Elijah. Guys, to me, it's priceless. I believe God's guidelines for Elijah are priceless. 1 Kings 19. And so I want to come down to verses 15 and 16. Now, after all of this stuff, it says, and the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholath shalt thou anoint to be prophet in your room. Now, Elijah is in the midst of his depths of depression. And God says, I got work for you to do. I want you to get up and do it. Now stop and think about that for just a minute. in order for God to help Elijah get out of his depression, he gave him work to do. You know how easy it is, and when you deal with depression, you know how easy it is to get caught up in yourself. And what do we think about? Oh, woe is me. Oh, how terrible life is. And we don't think about somebody else and their troubles. We don't think about the fact that they're counting on me to pick them up, and here I am, I'm serving me. God gave Elijah work to do. He said, Elijah, he said, I want you to get up from where you're at, and I want you to move. But instead, you know, we don't really want to see that a lot of times because we don't feel like doing anything with anybody else, and we want everybody to have pity on us and feel like we're, and just say, oh, you got it so bad, poor baby. But that's not what God did with Elijah. God said, Elijah, get up and get busy. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that's a good reason that everybody in the church needs work to do. You and I all need to be valuable. You look at that little smile. Doesn't that lift your heart up? You know, think of the responsibility that we have for these wonderful children. Oh, they touch
you. That's enough to be depressing.
What's that?
That's enough to be depressing.
Yeah. But we've got a great responsibility for all these children. Even Carissa. To help them have a wonderful life. And you know what they're doing? They're learning from us. They're going to become us. And if we show them somebody that loves God and gets up and goes forward, what's that going to help them to do? Love God and get up and go forward. I think of the children. But then me and you are children too, right? Mm-hmm. And so me and you have a responsibility to be the example for them. We need to show in our service our care for one another. You know, in my marriage, I know that it's the best one there ever was. But Dorothy and I really, we work real hard to serve each other and make each other's life wonderful. Now, we cross paths sometimes and we don't really realize that, okay? But that's the way it works. But you see, as Christians, shouldn't we be doing the same thing? And then what about for the people that we meet and rub shoulders with on a weekly basis? Shouldn't we be there to build them up and encourage them? Are we not servants? Is that not what God has given us? And let me ask you a question. When you're out there trying to encourage somebody else, does that make you depressed or happy? It's awful hard to be depressed when you're trying to help somebody smile. You know that? There's been a lot of times that I've sat, and Dorothy and I have always sat on that second row. Even when we first married, I think. But preaching, there's been times that I've sat right there in that seat and I've thought, I can't do it. I don't have anything to give. I felt so depressed, I didn't know how. So many times I've had to have a prayer before I get up. I say, God, I can't do it. You got to help. You got to help me put myself on the back burner. You got to help me to get up there and give something encouraging to help people go forward. But when I got up to serve, And those times when I was able to get out of myself and get up and give, it made me feel better. Elijah said, was told, get up and get busy. And you and I need to learn from that, that we have work to do. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it's just such a massive passage there. And it's so important that we look at the fact that you and I have work to do. And this is what the massiveness of this passage and the massiveness of this command, it just shouts out to me, I can't be down. I can't be. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've told you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You and I have been given a massive responsibility. I want our precious children to see the love of Jesus. Even when I tease them, merciless. I want all my brothers and sisters to grow in grace in the Lord. And I can't help them if I'm down. I believe that you and I are here to serve one another. And I'm going to do my best to serve you. And you know what I think? That if we work together on this, I think we are already trying that. Okay? So don't get me wrong. But that is a major key. We have a massive job to help people in this world understand why by mental illness is such a problem. It's because we're all caught up in ourselves. We're not looking at what the Bible says, and we see it, we don't like it, and we say it doesn't mean that. And we get so far down that we can't even think about serving anybody else, because all we can think about is serving ourselves. And of course, depression gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, sometimes it may be a clinical thing, an imbalance within the mind. Sometimes we bring that on ourselves, okay? Do you know how hard it is for me to get out of depression when I've let it go on for a while? It's tough. It's really tough. But God gives us the principles that we need. What was that Philippians 4:13 says? So who's I talking about? An individual. Talking about me. Okay? When you're reading, it's talking about you. Okay? So I can do what? Being up, is that something? Okay? Now, you don't want to, you know, when we're down, the last thing we want to do is admit that that's part of those all things. But I can, according to God. Do I believe God? I do. Do you? Okay? So I can do all things through who? Can you do it by yourself? See, that's number one problem. We try to do it through us. Well, I can. No, I can't. But I can through Christ. See, we try to think we're Superman, Superwoman. We're not. We're just weak. Me and you, we can't handle it, okay? And that's the key. But we can through Christ, because Christ is the one that gives us strength. And so we need to recognize that in this job that we have to teach the lost and to teach and encourage one another, we've got a big job to do. And we need to get out and do that job. And when we focus on that job, I believe that it will make a big difference. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus didn't come and bark orders. Jesus showed us the way. He simply said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus came for the purpose of serving. And I guarantee you, if anybody had a reason to be depressed, it would have been Jesus. He knew years ahead that he was going to die on the cross. Now you just think about that for just a minute. Think about that. If you knew that 3 years from now you're going to die on the cross, would you be up and out and busy and working? Jesus was. I think we need to recognize what Jesus has done. We need to recognize that he came to serve. In John 13, he got down on his hands and knees and he washed the apostles' feet. That may not mean a lot. But that was the worst job in the house. Talked with some people that were part of a group in Jamaica that washed feet ever so often. And they understood. You know how they understood how bad it was? They made sure they sit by the right one. You can imagine on the Sunday that they were going to wash feet, everybody's pushing and shoving to get sitting by the one they wanted to wash their feet, because some of them they didn't want to wash their feet. Now, what kind of an act of service is that? To begin with, he's not saying that we need to wash one another's feet. He's saying we need to be servants. He told them as he washed their feet, he said, "You don't know what I'm doing." If he was washing their feet and that was what it was about, he would have said, "You know what I'm doing, okay?" But he said, "You don't know what I'm doing." And so we need to be there to serve each other. And I really am convinced in my own life, I see this as an example in Elijah. I see it as an illustration there that I need to be a servant. And it'll help me to get out of my depression and to go forward. You know, in Psalm chapter 100, it tells us a little bit about the kind of service that we are to have. And this is where that illustration that I gave you, a little bit of the Jamaica problem. In Psalm chapter 100 and verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. You think they were, when they pushed and shoved to sit by the right one, that was with gladness? Guys, I tell you what, being willing to do the dirty job, willing, that's serving with gladness. And we need to be willing to do that, because if we push and shove to get the right situation, it is not with gladness. And we will not be able to deal with life as in a proper attitude as we should when we have that kind of an attitude. And Jesus got down and washed their feet with gladness. He served you when you went to the cross. And so if Jesus served you as he went to the cross, what have you put him on the back burner for? And just think about that. Are you serving him when you put him on the back burner in some part of your life? You need to be depressed, okay? If that's the case, you need to be depressed. And you should be. If God's not the priority in your life, you need to be depressed, because you're going to meet him on the day of judgment. Just know that that's coming. Give God your all and serve him with all that you've got. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, a wonderful passage. And there's this passage has probably been quoted more than most. But we need to understand some things about our service. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's kind of encouraging to know that when I'm serving the Lord, it's not going to go to nothing. Have you ever helped people in the world that we live in, and you feel like, man, they didn't appreciate that at all. You know, and you wonder sometimes after you've helped people and you say, why did I even do that? You know? You know, at different times we've helped people, and we've learned later here in the church that, you know, and it, we've struggled with this because we want to help people. And they didn't care at all. They didn't appreciate it in the least. But the wonderful thing is, as a Christian, if I serve, if the world doesn't understand it, God does. And it's not in vain. And so, if you serve somebody and you don't feel like you get the results that you would, because what do we want, you know? We want people to go to heaven. We want people to be encouraged and built up and want to live for God. It doesn't always work that way. I mean, we've seen that here. We do nice things and then, you know, it just seems to come to naught. Nothing. That's okay. Because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a good reason to be encouraged. Okay? Instead of looking at the negative aspect of it, look at the positive aspect of it. God's happy with what my service is. And we need to remember that. And so it never is in vain in the Lord. And so don't be discouraged if you don't get the results that you want. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Remember I mentioned a little while ago in this morning's lesson that the Apostle Paul said, I came not to baptize, but to teach. You see, this is what's kind of neat as we live for the Lord. We don't have to worry about whether or not we get the results that we want. Our job is to serve, and we need to remember that. In fact, as we look at this, I want you to turn over to Mark 16, because this passage helps us to see that the responsibility is on the hearer and not on the teller of the message. In Mark chapter 16, it says in verse 15 and 16, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I want you to notice how that's worded. It's worded a little bit differently than Matthew 6 or 28, 19 and 20. Here, it very clearly places the responsibility on the hearer of the message and not on the teller. You catching what I'm saying? Our job is to tell. Our work, our service is not in vain in the Lord. The whether or not that individual responds to that message is entirely on their shoulder. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believes not shall be condemned. Okay? The teller has still served and still done their job. Don't be discouraged. You know, God's already said that most people are going to be lost. They're going to go to hell. And so, if I tell one person and they reject it, should I get discouraged and quit? No. Maybe this is a little... This is my attitude. If somebody says no, I say, thank you for saving me time. I'm going to go find somebody who's going to say yes. Does that make sense? And I'm not trying to be mean or cruel to anybody because, you know, if a no is a no, it's a no. And nothing I can do about that. But there's somebody else out there that will say yes. And with God's help, I'm going to find them. There's people that want to go to heaven. And I can't help it that the most people don't want to go. I'm not going to let them bring me down. Okay? I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to serve the Lord with all that I've got. We need to understand that we're looking for God's praise, not man's. And so a lot of times I think this is something that comes with depression. You know, we don't feel that we get the appreciation that we deserve. Well, let's be honest. Do you really deserve the appreciation? Okay. As the servant, I think in Luke, it says that, you know, I've done that which is my duty to do. What more can I do? okay? You know, I don't need to be thankful for what I'm doing. It's my job, okay? That is what I'm supposed to do. I'm a servant of God. And so let's just keep going. But I'm glad that God has a way of rewarding us and giving us encouragement. And even though I don't think that we should be seeking that, I believe that there's no way you can stop it from coming. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, it should be, and there's times that it seems like it falls through the cracks. But we need to remember that God is there to bless us and help us, and God will bring us the praise and the glory that we need to help us to keep going. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." We've got a God that brings us the things that we need and encouragement that we desire. And I think we need to recognize that, who are we really looking for praise from? I want God's. I want God's. Because if I seek yours, it's not going to help me on day to day. But you know what's really nice? If I'm looking for God's praise when I interact with you, it's going to be a good relationship, isn't it? I'm going to have your best interest at heart. And when you interact with me, you're going to have my best interest at heart. Because you're not looking to please me, you're looking to please Him. That's a wonderful thing. And the thing is when we treat one another that way, we still end up with the praise of men. We really do. Because people value proper, loving conduct. And I think it just comes. And I think we need to keep that in mind. And we can't really separate them. But we need to understand, let's look for God's praise. Remember the Pharisees in the Gospels? They went about seeking the praise of men. They wanted people to put them up on a pedestal. They want people to look up to them and say how wonderful they are. God wants us to be servants and look for His praise. In Galatians chapter 6 and a couple of different verses there, Galatians chapter 6 verses 2 and 10, I want us to note some things about our service to one another. Galatians chapter 6 verses 2 and 10, it says, let me back up to verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you with your spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Does that sound like service? By doing that, by bearing one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. That's the service. We are to bear one another's burdens. And then in chapter, you know, here it's just talking about the Christians, but you drop down to verse 10. It says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them of the household of faith." Now there's a distinction, okay? The "especially" is for the faithful. But we're supposed to do good. We're serving everybody, guys. And when we're there to serve, I believe that it will help us to overcome the struggles and the difficulties and discouragement that so often comes in life. We need to be there and for others. We need to be that servant so that we can overcome that discouragement and depression. Don't get wrapped up in yourself. You know, God designed the Christian life so that it would be a happy life. It's so easy to lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. We need to bring joy to one another. We need to serve. But I want to go back to 1 Kings chapter 19 again. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to look at verse 19 this time. 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse Verse 19 says, "So he departed from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." You know, sometimes it can get kind of discouraging when you feel like you're all alone. But Elijah had this great talk with God and received a call to get busy. So he leaves from there and he goes and he casts his mantle on Elisha. Probably a great encouragement that was received, you know. Finally got somebody to stand by your side in the physical realm. And no doubt that was encouraging to him. But Elisha got up and he got busy. You know, isn't it great what a talk with God will do? You know, a lot of times I get in these struggles of life and life seems to be just overwhelming me. And I finally come to the point where I just lay it before God and say, "I can't do it. I just can't." You know, when I seem to try and I'm so struggling to try to help things go and the problems are just seem insurmountable. And I finally just say, "God, I don't have what it takes." And it's usually at that point where things start getting better. I wish I'd learned a little quicker. I really think that talk with God is a very important thing. I think we need to remember prayer and the responsibilities that have in it. You know, guys, we need to remember that God has promised to be with us, to strengthen us, and to hold us up. Yeah, He's promised, okay? And I know that you and me, we're in this weak state where, you know, we can't really see God on His throne. We can't really hear His voice except through the Word. And you know, here we are, we're reading it and we're having trouble communicating. Just like, you know, me and you, we can talk face to face, you know. But it's different with God and there's something about it. But guys, we need to remember what He said. He's promised. Sometimes our faith is weak. Expect depression to come when your faith is weak. Expect it. It's going to be there. But God is greater than our depression. And He can strengthen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, I've told you before, but I'll tell you again. I've quoted that myself so many times in a day for a period of years that I can't even count. Trying to get myself up and going. And I quoted it to myself because I needed to be reminded that I couldn't do it by myself. I also need to be reminded there's hope and it can get better. We need to be careful about allowing some of these problems in life to get us down. But when we find that they're getting us down, we're going to have to follow the guidelines that God has given us. We've got to continue to get out there and serve. We've got to work at trying to overcome that anxiousness and spend time in prayer with God and ask Him for the help that we need. We need to remember that all the while we need to be thankful and all the while we need to be out of ourselves and into the others that are around us. That's a remedy for depression. That's a remedy. Okay? That doesn't mean that it just all of a sudden vanishes away, but it does mean that we have the path to follow. All of those years I understood the remedy. I understood the path. I studied psychology. I studied the Bible. You know what psychology is? Good psychology is nothing more than Bible teaching. That's all it is. All good psychology is the advice that God gives. If you know the Bible, you can be a psychologist. You really can. Because this is truth. Psalm 23. You know, we look at this psalm and it's really an amazing psalm. It says so much, and I know that it's a very popular psalm. But the volume of what it says and the immense capacity that it has to give us hope, that it doesn't matter what comes and what struggles are there, God is there for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll feel near evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Why am I depressed? Why? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'm depressed. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've got great and precious promises that's coming. But I've got a job to do here. Such a great job, I don't have time to be depressed. I really don't. It's so important and so valuable that I need to put it first in my life and live it and give it all that I've got. I don't have time to wallow in self-pity because life isn't going quite the way I wanted, because quite frankly, doesn't God know better than me? I'd like to tell Him that He doesn't, but He really does. And that's what it says. Trust Him. You'll probably remind me of this in a few days. God provides all we need, guys. Why be discouraged? And in Psalm 73, in verse 24, you know, the greatest thing about it is this life is very temporal and fleeting. But there's something a whole lot better coming. And I think we need to take stock in that. You know, it's easy to kind of focus on the here and now. And it's hard to see beyond the here and now to what's coming. You know, we don't see the eternal a lot of times. All we focus on is what we're after now. And it says in verse 24, he says, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Are we following His counsel, or are we trying to soak up our own little struggles in our own little corner? And then we wonder why life is so discouraging and depression comes and problems come. You know, God has promised, guys, that He is going to be there. And I really believe that that's why it's one of the reasons anyway, that it's so important we spend time in prayer and study of God's Word. Because without the study of God's Word, we will not have the faith that we need to be able to make it through the difficult times. But he says in Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6, it says, let your conversation. Now when it says conversation, that word means your manner of life. From the time you get up to the time you go to bed, 24/7, 52. Okay, your manner of life. Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you. Never. Nor forsake you. So why are we depressed? Why? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Is the Lord your helper? I hope so. Because with the Lord as your helper, you'll come through any and every struggle that comes along. And you can be able to get up on the other side of it. Rest assured of a home in heaven. And I guarantee you, when you get to heaven and you look back at all of these struggles, you'll be thankful for the struggles that you had, because they were important to get you to heaven. Let's smile. Let's thank God. And let's ask God for help when it gets tough. And don't forget, we got a wonderful family that He designed to help us through it all. If there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation for any reason, guys, do it while we stand and sing.